I'm Vyas from Intel Labs, and I'm going to be talking about a new approach for building and managing middlebox deployments. To give you some context for this work, the previous talk already sort of did the pitch for me. We want the network to evolve, and the reason we want the network to evolve is that we see new applications. We've seen things like peer-to-peer, we see social networking, we see voice over IP, we see video, and we also see like new devices from which users want to access these internet services. And at the same time, the attackers are not keeping quiet. We see evolving threats where people find new vulnerabilities, new threat vectors in order to exploit these applications. And as enterprises and companies move a lot of these services to be internet-enabled, they also have to run into natural questions about policy compliance. For example, the payment card industry has a very sort of fine-grained set of guidelines that vendors must satisfy before they can accept online payments. And similarly, if you're an enterprise, you want to make sure that your proprietary information does not leak to your competitors. And in order to keep up with the changing performance, security, and compliance guarantees that this changing application landscape needs, we want the network infrastructure to be agile and evolve as well. So one question you may have is, how exactly does the network evolve today? We may have things like XI in the future that allow evolution, but what exactly happens on the ground today? What happens at the ground today, the de facto way the network evolves is not by changes to routers or switches, but really by adding specialized appliances that we also call middle boxes. And if you look at industry reports, the middle box industry is actually a huge industry. The market for network security appliances alone is somewhere in the order of $10 billion, and the market for overall middle boxes is expected to be much higher than this. To get a sense of what kinds of middle boxes are happening and are being deployed, we looked at data from one large enterprise network. This enterprise serves more than 80,000 users and spans tens of sites internationally. And the table here shows the type and number of different kinds of middle boxes that this enterprise deploys. So going in, when we were analyzing this network, we knew that they were going to have some kinds of middle boxes. But even we were surprised by both the diversity of processing that's happening and the fact that the number of middle boxes is in the same ballpark as the total number of traditional devices such as routers. So in some sense, these middle boxes or appliances are a very critical piece of the network infrastructure. And in talking to the operators that manage these networks, we do confirm that they actually perceive tremendous value from these boxes in terms of performance, in terms of security, in terms of policy compliance. But at the same time, we also found out that they have very key sources of frustration or pain points with the way these middle boxes deployments are today. And the reason for this is the way these middle boxes deployment themselves evolve. Today, each kind of middle box, say a firewall, is developed as a very specialized hardware device that provides a narrow functionality and comes with its own narrow or custom management interface. And as your network requirements grow, say you have new kinds of policy compliance requirements, the only option for network operators is to buy more of these boxes and buy more of these custom management interfaces. And in some sense, this bottom-up or piecemeal approach of adding more and more functionality leads to three sources of pain points or frustrations. One is these sort of specialized hardware devices are expensive. And they add to the network clutter, so you increase your device sprawl and the network becomes very complex. And because each kind of middle box comes with its own narrow custom management interface, they actually have to spend a lot of manual effort in customizing and tuning these middle box deployments. In fact, the large enterprise I was talking about earlier has separate teams for each kind of appliance they have in the network. So they actually spend a lot of money in operating and in managing these networks. And finally, this sort of or piecemeal approach limits the extensibility and flexibility of the devices themselves. If you have a new requirement, say I want to support mobile devices inside my enterprise, the only option for the operators today is to go buy more of these boxes. So in some sense, it sends you on this vicious cycle of more increased capital and operating expenses further. So the goal of this work is about rethinking how middle box deployments are built and managed in order to address these three key sources of frustration. And at a high level, our idea is to break away from this traditional approach of building narrow or point solutions and instead think about a more high level or consolidated way of building and managing middle boxes. I'll tell you what consolidation means. We're looking at consolidation both in terms of building individual boxes and also consolidation in terms of managing the whole network of middle boxes. So what does consolidation at the platform level mean? So today, each middle box, a proxy, a firewall, an IDS, or an application filter, is built as a specialized hardware device. And what we want to do instead is to decouple the software and hardware binding that exists in these middle boxes today, and instead think of an architecture where you can run multiple software-based appliances, a software firewall or a software proxy, on a consolidated hardware platform. And this idea is not new. We are building on sort of the promise shown by work like Flowstream from UCL that shows that this sort of consolidation can reduce your capital cost because you don't have many devices, and reduces your device sprawl because you don't have to buy separate devices for each kind of functionality. So one natural question you may have at this point is that, well, if I go from a specialized architecture to a more generalized architecture, maybe my hardware expenditure increases because this generalized architecture is going to be more resource inefficient. It turns out not to be the case, and this is somewhat counterintuitive, and what we find that this consolidated approach can actually reduce your hardware costs. And the way one of the reasons this happens is via what we call via multiplexing. The graph here shows the normalized utilization of four kinds of middle boxes at one enterprise site. So there's a WAN optimizer, a load balancer, a proxy, and a firewall. And the graph is a time series over 3 days of the normalized utilization of these four devices. So what is visually striking here that you find is that these different boxes actually hit their peak utilization at very different times. And what this means in our context is if you bought a separate device, you'll have to provision each device for its peak load. But if you bought one of these consolidated boxes, you just need to provision it for the peak total volume of traffic that it needs to process instead of provisioning each appliance for its peak load. So what we get from consolidation is this sort of natural multiplexing benefit. Of course, the multiplexing benefit depends on the particular workload or the particular deployment that you have. And in our real traces, we find this can be anywhere between 25 to 30%. We can go one step further. We can also think about refactoring how middle boxes are being developed in terms of the software architecture. So these middle boxes actually operate at a fairly high level of semantics where they need to understand the application layer semantics, which means that they have very complex software stacks. They need to do session reconstruction and session management. They need to build protocol parsers to recreate application layer state and so on. So today, each middle box vendor has to reinvent or re-implement this software stack. And if you have multiple boxes that are processing this packet, they essentially have to duplicate this action of building the session state, of building the protocol state, and so on. So you duplicate and replicate the actions across boxes. With a consolidated approach, we can think about refactoring how the software is written, and hopefully we can exploit reuse in sort of reusing these common modules at the lower layers and avoid duplicating these common modules, both in terms of how you implement the middle boxes and also in terms of processing these packets as they go through a network. And in our implementation, we find that for a bunch of these middle boxes, these reusable modules at the bottom can contribute a significant fraction of the overall processing cost, anywhere between 30 to 80%. And qualitatively, this sort of architecture also makes it easy to deploy new functionality. A new application vendor does not have to re-implement the whole stack. He just needs to come and write the higher layer functionality and reuse the components below. So that is about consolidation at the platform level, where it gives you this multiplexing benefit and this opportunity for reuse. We can also think about consolidating the management of middle boxes. Instead of having a narrow custom interface for each kind of appliance, we can think about a logically centralized high-level management interface, again, building on these ideas from the SDN world and 4D, to say, why not give a high-level interface to the network operator to manage the network across all traffic and across all middle boxes, instead of providing a narrow interface for each kind of appliance. And this has natural management benefits, because by abstracting away the complexities and the configuration details, we can simplify management and reduce operating costs. So it turns out that consolidating the management also provides a new opportunity for more flexible resource management. So what do I mean here? Today, each kind of middle box is viewed as a standalone device that sort of is works in an isolated environment. So what this means is if you have end-to-end traffic going from N1 to N3 on this end-to-end path, All the traffic processing for a middle box, say it's an IDS or a firewall, is really happening at the logical ingress of that path. So N1, the ingress, is processing all the traffic going from N1 to N3. So one problem could be that N1 gets overloaded, and this could happen because the traffic becomes high or some kind of attack is happening. The only option you have in this case is to either drop some functionality or drop some traffic, neither of which is desirable. So what we could do instead with a sort of a consolidated network management approach is actually distribute this load across the network and leverage spare capacity elsewhere in the network on N2 and N3. So in this case, when N1 is overloaded, we distribute some of this load to N2 and N3. So that was about sort of the high-level opportunities for reuse, for multiplexing, and distribution that this consolidated approach offers. The next part I'll actually talk about the system design challenges that we need to address in order to make this consolidation practical and how we realize these benefits in practice. So here's a high-level picture of what our architecture looks like. We have a logically centralized middle box controller that's sort of managing a network of many software-centric middle boxes. Again, we are building on past work in both of these dimensions. The key difference, though, is a lot of this existing work is focusing on simple and homogeneous routing-like workloads, whereas middle boxes turn out to be a completely different beast. Middle boxes have fairly complex policy interactions between middle boxes. They are more heterogeneous in terms of their resource consumption. And as I told you earlier, we have all these new opportunities for multiplexing, reuse, and distribution that simply don't matter in the context of routing-like workloads. And these three factors give rise to new challenges in both the management layer and in how we design the individual platform for a consolidated middle box architecture. So I'll begin by describing what we do at the management layer before going into the platform level details. At a high level, the management problem here, you can think of it as a resource management problem. Our goal is to balance the load across the network in assigning middle box processing responsibilities to the different software middle boxes. And in doing so, we want to exploit all these opportunities for multiplexing, reuse, and distribution. The difficulty comes in the fact that middle boxes have these sort of high-level policy constraints. You want to specify what kind of processing each traffic class gets. For example, the operator might say, for HTTP or web traffic, I want to run an IDS and a proxy, but I want to run the IDS before I run the proxy because the IDS wants to inspect the unmodified payload. We also need to take into account the routing and the traffic in the network because you may want to periodically rebalance the load as the routing or traffic patterns may change. And finally, as I said, these middle boxes have fairly heterogeneous resource requirements, so we need to take into account the resource consumption of each of these appliances and the capabilities of the hardware. The main challenge is in how do we capture these policy and reuse components effectively. And at an abstract level, you can think about representing the middle box processing as a logical dependency graph, where you have common actions at the bottom layer and application-specific actions at the higher layers. And each of these actions consumes different amounts of resources like CPU or memory. So let's look at an example where you have HTTP packet that needs both an IDS and proxy to be run on it. So what happens in this case is the packet goes through the common action and then goes through IDS and then proxy. And the cost of running HTTP, processing a HTTP packet in this case, is going to be 1 unit of CPU from the common action, 2 units of CPU from the IDS, 1 unit of memory from the common action, and 3 units of memory from the proxy. The problem, though, is that we need to sort of explicitly enumerate all the actions and all the policy dependencies for every packet going through the network, which means that the management problem becomes really tedious, and in fact, it's theoretically intractable to do this. So what we need is an efficient way to capture these dependencies such that the problem becomes tractable. And the way we do it is by considering this alternative model where all the actions relevant to a packet run on the same node. And we're going to introduce this logical notion of what we call a hyper app. Really what a hyper app is it's taking the logical union of all the actions that need to run on a given packet. So you can think of the logical union for HTTP is common plus IDS plus proxy. The idea being that the common action is not duplicated within the hyper app. And corresponding to the cost of running each action, you can think of what's the cost of the hyper app as the logical union of the actions. So in this case, it takes 3 units of CPU and 4 units of memory. So similarly, we can also construct what's the hyper app for UDP, what's the hyper app for NFS, and so on. There's a small caveat here, is that this needs a brute force enumeration step in defining the hyper apps. But fortunately, this is a one-time cost that we pay. This is not a periodic cost. And even that one-time cost, even though it's brute force, it's small. It's exponential in the number of applications. The applications are typically like 10 or 15, so it's not that bad. So once we have this reformulation in place, the management problem actually becomes a very simple, tractable linear program with just two simple kinds of constraints. One, that we need to make sure that each class of traffic, say HTTP, UDP, and IDS, gets the relevant processing somewhere inside the network. And we also need to model the load on each node in terms of the total traffic volume and the actions it's running on the different pieces of traffic going through it. And the key here is that we coarsen the problem to the point where we don't need to explicitly model the dependency and policy requirements. Of course, this sort of coarsening or collapsing any optimization, there's a natural question of whether are you losing in terms of optimality. What we find on a range of practical workloads, it's actually this reformulation is very close to the theoretical optimal. The gap is less than 0.1%, so we are fine. So at this point, we know how to solve the management problem. We have a tractable way to assign middle box processing responsibilities. So the next part, I'll tell you how do we sort of solve the challenges in building an individual middle box platform. So at a high level, we envision a multi-core platform with general processing cores, and we have these applications coming from different vendors, potentially from different vendors that are running on this multi-core platform. Now we want to do this policy enforcement, like say IDS runs before proxy, but these modules could come from different vendors that do not know of each other's existence. So we introduce this policy shim layer that's going to logically route the packets within the box in order to implement these policy constraints. So here's an example. Suppose this packet arrives at the NIC. The first step we need to do is classify this packet and identify this as HTTP. Then you know that for HTTP, you want to run the IDS followed by the proxy. And then the policy shim layer is going to logically route this packet between the cores on which the IDS and the proxy modules are running. So even this sort of with this high level view, we can see that there's going to be challenges at every layer of this sort of implementation stack. We want the classification to be fast. We want contention-free access to the NICs to the NIC hardware. I'm not going to talk about it in detail, but really we are exploiting capabilities in commodity NICs that give you these classification capabilities and also the ability to do virtual hardware queues so that the traffic gets mapped in a contention-free way across multiple cores. There's a question of we are introducing this policy layer, so we want this layer to be lightweight and also easily parallelizable. The question I'm going to focus on in this talk is really what we defined was this hyper app, which is a logical entity. And we want this logical entity to be mapped efficiently to the parallel hardware and without any loss in performance. So there's two options for instantiating in a hyper app at a logical layer. There's two options, one I call the app per core model. The other one, what I call the hyper app per core model. It'll be clear what I mean here. Suppose you have a green hyper app, which is M1 followed by M2. In the app per core model, each M1, M2, M3 will run on different cores. And the policy shim will route the packet between the two different cores. So it goes to M1 and on core 1 and M2 on core 2. In the hyper app per core model, we have each hyper app in its entirety running on the same core. So in this case, M1 and M2 both run on core 1, M2 and M3 run on core 2. If you have this green packet for hyper app 1, essentially both M1 and M2 run on the same core. There's obvious trade-offs between these two architectures. The hyper app per core pays a context switch overhead between processes running on the same core, whereas the app per core model incurs inter-core communication. Which way the scale tips really depends on the particular workload or the particular architecture. What we find on the sort of commodity architecture that we use, x86, is that the hyper-AppCore model is really better or comparable than the AppCore model. And in some sense, this echoes some of the results we saw from Nihai's talk yesterday, which showed that a lot of these low-level contention effects really do not seem to matter for the kind of workloads we're talking about here. So we picked the hyper-AppCore model because it's better for reuse, and also it simplifies how we instantiate the policy shim. So putting the pieces together, what our architecture looks like is that we're going to exploit the capabilities in the NIC hardware to get contention-free I/O and classification. We're going to process a packet in its entirety on a single core by using this hyper-AppCore model, so there is no inter-core communication. Once we choose the hyper-AppCore model, the policy shim also becomes easy to parallelize. We simply have an instance of the policy shim on the same core as the hyper-app. There is a subtle issue, which I won't go into in this talk, is what happens if the capacity of a core is less than the volume that needs to be processed for a hyper-app. In this case, we may have to clone an entire hyper-app. We can solve that problem also, but I won't have time to go into in this talk. So I'll briefly describe how we implement our architecture and also describe some of the benefits that our proposal brings to middlebox deployments. So if we realize the network-wide management layer using commodity off-the-shelf solvers like Cplex, our consolidated platform runs on a general-purpose server, an 8-core Intel Xeon box with a particular NIC that provides our classification and virtual queue features. We implement the policy shim layer in SMP Click. We support two kinds of middlebox applications, either ones that we have written using an extensible stack, where you have these reusable modules, or we can also support standalone or legacy applications where we can either rewrite their packet capture routines or simply emulate virtual interfaces to these applications. So we have several results in the paper that I'll briefly highlight, which show that consolidation is practical. We add very little overhead for existing applications. The controller takes very low time. So if you think of re-optimizing the balancing of the load every 5 minutes, the controller only takes like 1.6 seconds for a large topology. We've also compared our approach to virtual VM-based consolidation. And we actually find that our throughput is roughly 5x better than VM-based consolidation. So our approach is actually better. I'll get into this, but if VM-based works, it's good, but it turns out not to have the right throughput for us. So in order to show the benefits of consolidation, we run several trace-driven emulation results for a range of topologies. So the x-axis shows the different topologies. And we generate realistic time-varying patterns. And we say, what's the load on any given node in the network, and what's the maximum load across the nodes in the network across these time-varying patterns. And the metric we are interested in is the ratio of the maximum load with today's middlebox deployments versus the maximum load in the consolidated deployment that we are proposing. So higher ratio is better for us, which means that consolidation is reducing the load imbalance more significantly. And the graph here shows a box and whiskers plot with the min, the max, the median, 50th percentile, the median, 25th and 75th percentiles across these time-varying patterns for the different topologies. And what we find is that consolidation can reduce this maximum load anywhere between 2.5 to 25x across these different topologies. We can also flip this question and ask the question, how do you need to provision your network in order to handle these time-varying patterns? And what we find in that case is that consolidation can reduce the provisioning cost anywhere between 1.8 to 2.5x. At this point, there's two obvious questions that you're going to ask me. What about isolation and the fact that you're actually challenging existing business models for vendors? In terms of isolation, we are relying on existing process-level isolation within the operating system. And one thing that's promising for us is that there's new results from Luigi Risso that show that you can do high-performance networking in the user space. So that's actually good for isolation, which means that the kernel modules can actually be safe. One challenge, though, that we don't know how to address yet is how do we get reuse despite isolation? So we can do isolation or reuse, but not both. Is there a way to get the best of both worlds? In terms of the business models, this is a natural question. In some sense, this is already happening. Things like the cloud-based deployments are already forcing vendors to rethink their software hardware coupling And a lot of them are releasing virtual appliances for firewalls, WAN optimizers, and so on. And in some sense, we've shown the benefit, we've shown the feasibility. It implies that there is a market for somebody to go and do it. And we speculate that a bunch of these vendors may already have the extensible software stacks. We just require one or more of them to differentiate their products and make their products, make their APIs more extensible. So to conclude, this work was really motivated by the fact that network evolution today happens via middle boxes, but they've been largely ignored. And as a result, today's approach for building middle boxes leads to narrower point solutions that lead to high capex, high opex, and the network becomes cluttered, and the network becomes difficult to extend and becomes inflexible. And in order to break away from this piecemeal approach, we proposed a consolidated architecture and showed that it's extensible, it's more general purpose, and that it reduces the capital and operating expenses. I just want to point out that in some sense, we are really scratching the surface in showing the feasibility of this architecture. There's a lot of opportunities for future work in terms of providing the isolation versus reuse, in designing better APIs between the hardware and the applications, between the management and the applications, and so on. I'm happy to discuss any of these opportunities with you or take any other questions you may have at this time. Thanks.
Okay, shall I go?
Go ahead.
So this is cool work. I really liked it. I just wanted to have your thoughts on the following. The deployment of these middle boxes in the network topology certain times has practical considerations. So while consolidation is definitely advantageous, you might have to rewire traffic somewhere else, and that might not bring you as many benefits, and especially in geographically distributed sites. Have you considered the network topology of this enterprise and taking that into consideration?
So if I want to understand your question, so when we run the evaluation, a lot of these, we are emulating a geographically distributed enterprise. So the enterprise has multiple sites. These AS topologies have multiple sites. So we are emulating a multi-site topology and looking at the end-to-end traffic and the constraints there. There are constraints in some middle boxes are topologically constrained. For example, a proxy or a WAN optimizer has to be at the edge of the network. We do say in the paper how we can handle those cases. So I suggest we look at it, or I can talk to you offline about it.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, great work. I'm sorry, I'm John Crocroft from Cambridge. I got kind of one question and one suggestion. The question is, what do you do about information hiding where policies are not available? You know, sometimes middle bots will have configurations they don't want to reveal to your CPLEX system, for example.
Okay. So the question is, what if there are policies that are hidden? So in some sense, the policies here, so we're talking about the context of a single enterprise network. So the policy is something that the enterprise administrator or the operator wants to impose on the network. So that is something he can expose. He may have it implicitly in his mind. We just require that it be made available to our optimization. So in some sense, the policy is not coming from the middle box vendor. The policy is really coming from the operator who is running our optimization. I don't know if that matters.
No, that's okay. On the isolation and reuse, we have a rewrite of Xen that we're doing in Cambridge called Mirage, which actually does that. So if you want to talk to us about Mirage, you're welcome.
Perfect. You may have just solved my problem.
In the back.
John Dunnigan, Amazon. There's something I didn't understand about this work. So when I was listening to you describe all of the policy around describing resource management, describing how then you would place functionality, I didn't understand what the motivation for that is compared to a design that does something like placing all functionality on every server and just having to choose the number of servers, and then routing traffic, say, equally to each server within any given geographic domain. That alternative approach is the one I see being adopted more for the design of scale-out services now.
If I want to understand you're saying, why not have everything running on every server and just choose the number of servers?
Yes.
So in some sense, we do have everything running on every server in our network. We are choosing exactly where to run it. That's the kind of resource management we are doing. So once you went to this consolidated, generalized approach, we can run every appliance everywhere. So today, you are topologically constrained in where the middle box is. So that's restricting you because you sort of have this physical coupling. We've removed the physical coupling. We have a general box that can run any appliance anywhere in software. So we are exploiting whatever you're saying, I think you're saying.
Okay, then I'd like to follow on by saying that if every server provides uniform functionality,
uh-huh.
that there's likely an easier approach to sizing compared to policy specification. An example would be route 1% of the traffic there and measure CPU utilization.
So the policy specification is really about what kinds of traffic needs what kind of processing. It's not really about the resource management. Like, say the enterprise says web traffic needs to have XYZ functionality, or NFS traffic needs a cache and something else. So the policy has nothing to do with the scaling aspect. The scaling aspect comes to do with how much do each of these modules consume. We should probably talk about this offline.
Yeah. I was going to say, let's take this offline.
All right.
Go to the next question.
Aaron Gember, University of Wisconsin. So when you talk about how many units of CPU each of these modules take, certainly you can say, well, I have more load, so it's going to multiply by that units. What about traffic that's very dependent on what's contained within the packet itself, something maybe like WAN optimization or deep packet inspection?
So that's a great question. So the question is there a way to get these expected consumption of resources? At some level, what we're operating is at a very coarse-grained of aggregation. We're thinking, like, what's the expected cost of running a packet? So, yes, a particular packet within that stream might take more CPU or more resources. That's not something we're carrying. We're operating at a much coarser granularity. We have other work that talks about more fine-grained sort of fairness issues. We can talk about it offline.
Michael Sirivianos from Cyprus University of Technology. Going back to your consolidation or reduces CapEx slide, you saw different peak times for different types of processing. You must talk about that in the paper already, but do you have any general idea why, for example, the IDS has a different peak time than the firewall? Things
sure.
like that. Yes.
So in some sense, one thing is this is what the real traffic is. So I think the intuition, the counterintuitive part is you expect diurnal trends and therefore everything would sort of coincidentally peak because of diurnal traffic trends. I think the reason here is that the different boxes are actually doing different kinds of functionality. For example, an IDS may be inspecting web traffic that users of the enterprise are doing, whereas something like a WAN optimizer really helps when you're doing these backups at night. I don't have a more fine-grained answer than that, but it is true that a lot of these boxes do sort of have non-overlapping traffic subset they process, and this traffic may hit peak utilization at very different times.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, last question.
Okay, I'm Dong Su Han from Carnegie Mellon. How do you take account for vendor-specific hardware optimizations in your framework? And if you do, doesn't it create a problem? Because you know every vendor will have incentives to provide own hardware, not to use this shared resource.
So I didn't have time to go into this talk. This is a very simplified view of the problem. So we actually tell how do we handle hardware accelerators. For example, if you had a crypto accelerator or a regular expression matching accelerator in your hardware, how do we take into account when you do the resource management? So we can say if a particular kind of application has affinity for particular hardware, then maybe it's better to run it on that hardware. We tell you in the paper how to do it, but I'm happy to talk to you also.